Alright, Shavuot, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking our sponsor, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Tammuz, Rav Naftali Tilson of Eretz Yisrael, for dedicating all the Shurim and Drashos this month in commemoration of the yahrzeit of his dear parents, Rav Yonah ben Avram Leib and Rivka Bas Yaakov, as well as in the Schos, that our entire Shem Eretz Hashem should be Zocha to continue to learn and Eretz Hashem finish Shas Bekarov. To thank our week of learning sponsors, Binyamin and Ilana Levin, in honor of the birth of a granddaughter, Liora Sar Levin, Eretz Hashem should be Zocha to grow to an incredible Bas Yisrael, Mea Ve'esim Shanim Tovos. And we dedicate our learning in the Schos of Refuah Shleima for Zechariah Dov Ben Perel Shira. He should have a complete refuah together with Kol Chole Yisrael. And most with that, let us begin an incredible, incredible daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Mem Dalet 44. We are picking up in Eretz Hashem at the Mishnah on Mem Gimel Amud Beis 43b. The Mishnah says as follows: Hamocher Avdo LaOvdei Kochavim. If a person sells his Eved Kenani to Ovdei Kochavim, to a non-Jew, or L'chutz La'aretz, or for that matter, again, he sells his Eved Kenani to Chutz La'aretz, to diaspora, Yatza Ben Chorin, the Eved automatically goes free. Eved automatically goes free. Rabbi said, what's the pshat with this? Take a look at Rashi. Yatza L'cherus, in Baruch Nino Oved Kochavim, so possibility number one is that, according to Rashi, is, let's say again, I have an Eved Kenani, I go ahead and I sell him to an Oved Kochavim, or I sell him to a Chutz La'aretz, and the Eved subsequently runs away. So Halacha L'maisa, the Mishnah says, the Eved does not come back to me, his original master. Rather, the Eved is automatically emancipated. The other possibility, Rashi says, oh, shekansua bezin lefdoso. Or what it means, what the Mishnah means to say is, if I go ahead, there is a rabbinic prohibition to sell my Eved Kenani to either A, a Gentile master, or to sell him to Chutz La'aretz. And if I do either of those two things, I have an obligation to redeem him from that new master. Not only do I have an obligation to redeem him, but what? When I redeem him, I have to emancipate him. When I redeem him, he automatically goes free. Now, what's the pshat with this? This obviously is a rabbinic penalty, Rashi says. Hoil v'ifkul min ha-mitzvos. Because at the end of the day, by selling him to Chutz La'aretz or by selling him to a Gentile master, I have removed the I've removed the Eved from the performance of mitzvos. This is incredible. So we'll say, what's the pshat? So obviously, if I give him over to a Gentile master, his ability to go ahead and perform mitzvos has obviously become significantly curtailed. And he says, furthermore, v'chein l'chutz la'aretz yatz l'cherus, mipnei shotzim eretz me'aretz, me'aretz l'chutz la'aretz. So ultimately, again, we'll say furthermore, even just the removal from Eretz Yisrael to chutz la'aretz, right, moving the slave from Eretz Yisrael to diaspora, ultimately removes him from mitzvos as well. Now, that could be understood on two different levels. That could be understood on a simple level, that remember in Eretz Yisrael, you have certain mitzvos which are dependent on the land, which cannot be performed outside of Chutz La'aretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, the other possibility is, remember, there is a school of thought that says, in general, the obligation to perform mitzvos only applies within Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvos that we do outside of Eretz Yisrael are simply training for when we are in Eretz Yisrael. Either way, by selling the slave from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, I have in some way diminished his mitzvah performance capacity. So therefore, that's the common denominator over here. Fascinatingly enough, by selling my slave either to a Gentile master or to Chutz La'aretz, I have diminished his ability to properly perform mitzvos. Therefore, there's a rabbinic penalty that I'm obligated to go ahead and redeem him. That's part of the penalty number one. And penalty number two, or second part of that penalty, is I would have thought after I redeem him, okay, so now what? He's mine again. Yeah. No, he's not mine. Ultimately, again, I have an obligation to redeem him, but now he goes free. Incredible. Says the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan. Hamocha Avdo Ovdei Kochavim Yatza L'Cherus. If one sells his Eved Kenani to an Ovid Kochavim, the Eved goes free. Bitzarach get shichra me'rabo rishon. But there is still a get shichra. A document of emancipation is required from the original owner. When is that so? Shalo kasav alav ono. I will say, when do you need a get shichra? When is that required? when a shtar ono wasn't written. But if the master wrote an ono, then ultimately, again, that represents the document of emancipation. I says, my ono, what's an ono? On Rav Sheshas, the kasav lehachi, lechashiti barach mimenu, inli esek bach. So we'll say, for example, so now this is a very important halacha. So the Gemara is introducing me to is this idea that step one is I violated a rabbinic prohibition and I sold my Eved Kenani either to a Gentile or to Chutz Laretz. That's the prohibition, right? The penalty is I have an obligation to redeem him. Now the Gemara says, by the way, when you redeem him, you have to give him a get shechrer, to which Rav Sheshes qualifies this and says, that's only so if you didn't write a shtar ono. What's a shtar ono? If I went ahead and I sold my Eved, and I said to the Eved, listen, you are sold to the Gentile master, to Chutz Laretz, and if you run away, don't come back to me. Don't come back to me. They'll say, that is effectively ishtar shechrer. Right? That is effectively a document of emancipation. So in that kind of case, if I wrote the ono after I redeem him as a result of my rabbinic obligation, I don't have to write another get shechra for him. Incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Tana Banan, Lava alav mina oved kochavim. If ultimately one went ahead, so I'll say, so the case over here is, I own an Eved Kenani, I collateralized him. So I used him as collateral for a loan, for an Oved Kochavim. So I borrowed money from Joe, the Oved Kochavim. And now what happens is I secured the debt with my Eved Kenani. Okay. So I say, now watch this. Kevan Shasla Oved Kochavim Nimuso, Yatsa L'Cheirus. Once the Oved Kochavim does his Nimuso on the Eved goes free. I ask the Gemara, my Nimuso, what does that mean? Amrafuna Bar Yehuda Nashki. What say means the Nashki? What's the Nashki? Look at Rashi. So it's about three lines after before the lines get wide. Nashki Chosim the Simon Avdos Shetolin La Avadim Betzavarim. So we'll say, so apparently it was common that if you had an Eved, what you would do is you would like hang something around their neck. Right? So a Nashki means like a necklace or like a seal that they would wear, indicating that they were owned by a particular master. So here's what's interesting. In this case over here, all I've done is I've collateralized my Eved. I have not sold him. I've simply pledged him as collateral. Even that collateralization, once the Obey Kochavim, so to speak, hangs his sign, which represents some level of ownership around the neck of the Eved goes free. Says the Gemara, Masir Rav Sheshes, one second, Harisim, Vachachiros, Varise Bate Avos. So we'll say, so Aris is a sharecropper. Chachiros, literally, again, I will say, are renters. Now remember, Rashi points out over here, these were different types of agricultural arrangements. Rashi says, an Aris is someone who worked the land and gave a percentage of the crop ultimately to the owner. Chachiros is a type of rental agreement, Rashi explains, where there's a fixed amount of rent per year. Arise Bati Avos, were inherited sharecropping agreements, and Oved Kochavim Shamashkan Sadeo Li Yisrael. And Oved Kochavim ultimately, again, who pledged his field to a Jew, in other words, as collateral, Afa Pisha Asolo Nimuso, even though, again, the Jew put his Nimuso on it, Petura Min HaMaisa. And I will say, these are all examples of land in Eretz Yisrael that would not be subject to Maisa. I will say, just, again, we're not going to delve into this too much, but just keep this in mind. There is a fascinating machlokas. We actually touched on this, I think, last week, about whether or not Gentile ownership of land in Eretz Yisrael removes the sanctity of the land. Remember, again, why is that an important discussion? Whether or not the agriculture will be subject to Trumas and Maisus. See, here what the Gemara is saying is, essentially, you have Gentile-owned land in which you have a Jewish sharecropper or a Jewish renter, or for that matter, again, it's Jewishly held collateral. In all of these cases, Afa Pisha Asaloni Muso, that's the part we're after over here. Even though, right, the Jew put his Nimuso on it, Petura Min HaMaiser, the land is still subject to Maiser. So I'll say, what do you see from here? So the Gemara says, V'isadaitcha nashki, sadevas nashki. And I will say, if you say Nimuso represents something you wear around the neck, so I don't think, can you put something around the neck of the land? It doesn't make any sense. El Amrav Sheshes, Zman. Rather, Rav Sheshet says, they will say, what does it mean? It means zman. They will say, what does it mean, zman? That halacha lemaisa nimuso means, even though there is a date upon which that collateralized land becomes the property of the Jew, nevertheless, the land will not be subject to the obligations of Trumas and Maestras. To which the Gemara says, Kasha zman azman. Lo kasha hadimati zmane, hadalo mati zmane. To which the Gemara says, if that's the case, halacha lemaisa, there's going to be a contradiction between zman and zman, because it's said by the Eved, once the Ovid Kochavim puts his nimuso, which sounds like zman, that time that he could collect the collateral, around the neck of the Eved, so to speak, it becomes the property of the Ovid Kochavim, yet by land, it doesn't become the property of the Jew. To which the Gemara says, it's not a contradiction. When the actual date for collection of collateral comes, then collateral becomes property of the call it the lender, right? The lender, so to speak. And then again, if it's an Eved, ultimately again, it becomes property of the Gentile. And if it's the land, it becomes property of the Jew. Elo gabe Eved, dimate zmane tzvicha lemeimar. So I don't understand. If you have a situation, I will say, of an Eved owned by a Jew that was collateralized for a debt for a non-Jew, and now the Jew defaults on the debt, and the time for the collection of the Eved comes about. So does anyone need to say that now this is an Eved owned by a non-Jew, and the knas, the penalty, as espoused in the Mishnah, kicks in? That's obvious. To which the Gemara says, Elo, Rabbi Eved don't understand this, Yichel Meimar, Elo idi vi idi delo matas mane. Rather, we'll see, you have to talk about both cases where the particular date did not yet come. Velo kasha, Havlo kasha, halagufa, halapera. Both are talking about two different cases. One is talking about actual physical ownership, and one is talking about actual, again, ownership of the peros. Vi by sema. The other passage was at top of mem dalid. Vi by sema. Bishalava amanas lamashkino, velo mashkino. But the other possibility is that we could be talking about a case where halacha lamaisa, the loan took place with the condition to receive collateral, but the collateral itself never actually materialized. So we'll say, without getting lost in some of the details over here, just understand what it is that we're emerging from. What we're going to do is, we're going to do the Rambam in one fell swoop when we get to the end of this sugya, because the Rambam groups all of these particular halachas together. What we need to take from this right now is, number one, we have our rabbinic penalty, right? What's our rabbinic penalty? Ultimately, you go ahead and you sell your slave, your Eved Kinani, to either a Gentile master or to Chutz La'aretz. That slave is going free. That's the rabbinic penalty. You're obligated to redeem him, and then you have to free him. Okay? Right? Important qualification. You have to go ahead and give him, you have to give him a get shichrer. Except when what? You wrote a shtar ono. What shtar ono? Where essentially he said to the Eved, I'm selling you, and if you run away, do not come back here. That is effectively ishtar shichur in and of itself. The Gemara just pointed out that it would appear that halacha lemaisa, in a case of collateralized avadim, if the lender went ahead and somehow laid claim to the eved already, that may result in immediate emancipation as well, to be determined by the Rambam. Let's go. Say 44a, second line down from the top. Mem dalam lav. Turn rabbanon. Gavo bichovo. So it's a very interesting case. Let's say I borrowed money from a Gentile. I borrowed money from a Gentile, and what happens? The Gentile took my slave as payment for his debt. Or sikrikun. We'll say sikrikun ultimately again is like is a thief, we'll call it a thief. Rashi says over here is sikrikun. Sikrikon is Bishar She Yisrael Mufkaren Lahariga Fama Ovid Kochavim Sa Karkazu O Eved Zeh Vehinichani. So I'll say Sikrikon represents someone who has like a lot of power over me to kill me, right? And he says, listen, I'm taking your Eved. So I'll say, what's the halacha in these kind of cases? Lo Yotza Lecherus. The Eved doesn't go free. Sigmar says, Ubechovo, I don't understand. I understand case number two. Why? Because in case number two, the Eved is being taken forcibly from me, right? I'm not giving over. The Eved is being taken from me. But in case number one, what's the problem over here, right? In case number one, I will say, if he's being collected as a debt, I don't understand why he automatically goes free. I'm sorry, I understand. Let me take a step back. In case number one, where he's being taken as payment for the debt, why would the Eved not go free in that case? Ubechovolo, or minu, the Gemara says, Hare sha'ansu beis ha'melech garno. So listen to this, we'll say a different kind of case. If let's say again, the king took my produce against my will, in bechovo, if he's taking it to satisfy a debt that I own, chayev la'aser, then I'm obligated to separate out trumas maestras. Im ba'an poros, potr bi la'aser. However, if he's just taking it because he's the king and he can take whatever he wants, then I'm not obligated to tithe. So we'll say what that sounds like is, if something is being seized from you in satisfaction of a debt that you owe, then normative halacha kicks in. So if that's the case, if someone seizes my eved because I owe money, then the knas of the Mishnah should kick in and the eved should be automatically emancipated. To which the Gemara says, "Shiny hasam to come a shashile." I will say it's different in the case of Meiser, because I will say when the king seizes my debt, my granary, my produce in satisfaction of a debt, I am benefiting from that because technically speaking, the amount that I would have had to separate out for Trumas and Maestros is now going to satisfy my debt. Tashma Damarav, Hamocher Avdu, Avdu Leparhanag, Oved Kochavim, Yotzel Lecherus. So we'll say if a person goes ahead and sells his Eved to a Parhanag. Now we'll say, what's a Parhanag? Overcome Rashis, Kasada Lavod Avodas Hamelech, Asman Ploni Veloshuv. So we'll say, a Parhanag is someone who extorts. Someone who extorts. So we'll say, over here, I'm selling my Eved to an Akum who is an extortionist. So what's the halacha? Yatzel lecherus. Ultimately, you know, we'll say the Eved goes free. Now, why does the Eved go free? Hasam havile lefayis velo payis. Because I will say, here's the good thing about extortionists is you could go ahead and appease them with something else. You should have given him a different piece of property, right? You chose to give him the Eved. So because you chose of your own volition to give him the Eved, ultimately, again, the Eved does not go free. So we'll say, I just want to point out what the Gemara seems to be highlighting over here, which is that it is only when you sell or give the Eved willingly that the knas, that the penalty of the Mishnah kicks in. But if the Eved is totally seized against your will, then the knas, the penalty, does not kick in. Says Gemara Gufa, Amarav, Hamocher Avdo Leparanag Ovei Kochavim. If a person goes ahead and sells his Eved to a Gentile extortionist, Yatzal Acheiros, ultimately the Eved goes free. I might have a little bit of it, but what should I have done? The guy's an extortionist. Havile the fight is for Lopez. You should have appeased him with a different piece of property, but because he didn't do so, ultimately, again, there is liability for that. Incredible. By Rabbi Yirmiyahu, Machlo l'shloshim yomau. But say, what happens if I sold my Eved to an Akum for 30 days? So this is an interesting case. So on one hand, I'm selling my Eved to an Akum, but on the other hand, it's only for a limited amount of time. So does the knas, does the penalty of the Mishnah kick in? So Tashma Damarav, Hamocher Avdo Leparanag Ovid Kochavim, if a person goes ahead and sells his Eved to a Paranag Ovid Kochavim, ultimately, again, to a non-Jewish extortionist, Yatzel Lecherus, Eved goes free, Hasam Beparanag Ovid Kochavim She'eno Chozeres. The reason over there is because once I sell it to the extortionist, then we'll say what? The Eved's not coming back. Eved's not coming back. We'll say, right, in this case, this situation is different. Why is this situation different? This is a timed sale, right? I'm only selling for 30 days. So what about the following case? Machro Chutz Mimalachto. So this is an interesting case. What happens if I sell my Eved to an Ovei Kochavim, but with the exclusion of his work? In other words, so I say to Ovei Kochavim, I'm selling him to you, but you can't work him. You can't work him, or you can't receive benefit from his labor. Right now, chutz min mitzvos. Or what happens if I go in and sell to Ovei Kochavim and I say, Ovei Kochavim, you can go ahead and I'm selling you my Eved Kenani, but he has to be able to perform mitzvos. Right? Chutz mi shabbosos yamim tovim. I'm selling you my Eved Kenani, but ain't going to work on Saturday, right? He can't work on Shabbos, he can't work on Yom Tov. Okay? Mau, leger toshav, liyishol mumar, mahu. What happens if I sell my Eved Kenani to a ger toshav? Let's remember again, ger toshav is a guy, is a non-Jew who lives in Eretz Yisrael, observes Shema Mitzvos B'nei Noah, and ultimately again sublimates his self to the system of Halacha. Or Ali Yisrael Mumar. I will say, what happens to a Jew who's an apostate? Right? Mahu, Lekusi, Mahu. What about if I sell him to a Kusi? So I will say, so these are all non-classical cases of a sale. So what happens in all of these situations? The Gemara says, Pashat Miha, Chada. Out of all of these, I could at least answer at least one. Ger Toshav Harehu Ka'ovid Kochavim. So I will say, so one thing I know for sure, a Ger Toshav is an Akum, which is actually very interesting, right? A Ger Toshav, I will say, remember again, so a Ger Toshav, who actually is not an Akum, right? You must remember again, Akum is a not, it literally is an Oved Kochavim, Oved Kamazal, right? Someone who's worshipping idolatry. A Ger Toshav Dafka is not worshipping idolatry. Yet what the Gemara is saying is, for the purposes of this halacha, a Ger Toshav ultimately, again, is considered to be an Akum. To which the Gemara says, Pashmi achada ger toshav harei ka'ovei kochavim. Kusi, the Yisrael mumar, amrelei ka'ovei kochavim, amrelei ki Yisrael. What about a kusi and a mumar? Ultimately, and I will say, so that's a machlokes. So I will say, so interestingly enough, what you see here is as follows. So I will say, so number one, pretty much all of these questions that began from the time of a timed sale, what if I just sell them for 30 days? Or what if I just sell them with all of these exceptions? I'm selling my Ovikochavim, but you can't work him. I'm selling my Ovikochavim, but he's not going to work on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So do all of these cases trigger the Knas or not? So the Gemara says, Teku. The only question the Gemara says that does resolve is, selling him to a Ger Toshav is the equivalent of selling him to an Akum. Incredible. So Bamin Erevi Ami. Eved Shipa Asma L'Gayasos. What's the interesting case? What about an Eved who allowed himself to be captured? Heaven will allow himself to be captured. Ein rabo yachol ve'ein rabo yachol lotzio lo b'dinei yisrov lo b'dinei avichom. So we'll say, and now the master doesn't have the ability to extract him either using Jewish law or Gentile law. So again, we'll say step one is the Eved allow himself to be captured. Step two, the Jew, the Jewish master, does not have any legal recourse by which to extract him from his captivity. Mao sheitel is damav. Is he allowed to go ahead and at least get payment for the Eved? So I will say, this is a very interesting case. Look what's happening over here. So right, I own an Eved Kenani. My Eved Kenani allows him to go ahead and get, right, my Eved Kenani allows himself to get captured by Gentile captors. I can't extract him. Not in our laws, not in secular law, I can't extract him. But captors aren't all bad. What are they willing to do? They're willing to pay me. They're willing to pay me, right? Okay, Bose, we all live with contradictions, right? They're willing to pay me. So now, Bose, what's the Shaila? Can I accept the money? Now what's that play over here? What's that play over here is, well, if I accept the money, then what have I effectively done? What have I done? I've sold my Eved to a non-Jew, which is prohibited. On the other hand, I didn't sell my Eved to a non-Jew. My Eved was taken captive by a non-Jew, and I have no recourse through which or by which to extract my Eved. So I've already said there's a loss. Does the loss have to be a total loss that I can't accept any money? Or no, I didn't orchestrate this situation, and therefore, again, I should be able at least to be made whole by getting the money. Incredible. So the Marsha, I'm going to be on the other Rabbi Zirika. Puk Aim Mechiltucha. I suppose this is incredible. So this was the Shaila posed in the Beis Medrash. So Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zveika, "Poke ayin b'mechiltech. Go ahead and examine your halachas. Right? In other words, review your learning and see if you can find an answer to this. Nafak dak va'ashkach. Sure enough, what happened? Rabbi Zveika so went ahead and reviewed his learning and he found the following: Disanya hamocher beisol ovekochavim dama of asurin. But say if you sell your home in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew." Any proceeds from that sale ultimately, again, are aser. So let's say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, "Mocher beisoli ovi kochavim beretz Yisrael do amar kra lo sichanim lo sitein lehem chaniya bekarka." So ultimately, again, this is talking about a situation. So again, in Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to sell property to a non-Jew. So if one went ahead and illegally sold his home to a non-Jew, the proceeds of the sale are aser. What happens if you have a non-Jew who forcibly extracted property from a Jew? And the Jew has no legal recourse, neither in Beis Din or secular court. Mutar litol as damav. You are allowed to go ahead and accept money for the sale. The kosev umale ba'arkaos shalahen. And also you could even go ahead and draft the sale document in their court. Because it's as if you're saving it from your hand. In other words, we'll say, which is an expression that means the Jew is allowed to get money for this. Why? Because again, he didn't orchestrate or facilitate the sale. This was done against his will. And if he doesn't take the money, it's a complete loss. It's a complete loss. And like this, the Gentile walks away totally enriched. Number one, he got the property. Number two, he keeps the money. So we'll say, so what do you see from here? What do you see from here? You see from here that when there is an illegal transaction that is foisted upon you, right, that you did not orchestrate, you are allowed to accept money for the transaction. Now again, we'll say, don't apply that to every case in halacha, because it doesn't, but again, in these type of situations where you have a prohibition to do something, someone did it against your will, it sounds like you're allowed to go ahead and receive payment for the transaction. To which the Gemara says, one second. The Dilma, Hani Mili Bayis, Kiev, Dechevon de lo Sagi, Le, Belo Bayis, Lo Asi Le Zabune. So we'll say, maybe it's only in the case of the home. Right? In the case of the home, where I'm not allowed to sell a home to an Akum in Eretz Yisrael, but now the Akum took it, I'm allowed to take money. Why? I both say, we're not concerned that if we allow you to take the money, you're going to come to sell your home proactively. Why? Because a person needs a home, and they're not going to come to sell their home to an Akum. I will say, maybe by an Eved, even though now the Akum forcibly took the Eved on his own, perhaps we should be concerned that if we allow you to go ahead and what? If we allow you to go ahead and accept money, maybe you'll come to proactively sell the Eved. Although, or maybe that's not a concern. Shalach lu Rabbi Ami. Go ahead and disseminate this halacha to all of Klal Yisrael. Evet shehipil asma legayasos. If a slave allowed himself to be captured, vein rabbi yochol lohotzio lo bedini Yisrael lo bedini ove kochavim, and the master doesn't have the ability to go ahead and what? And extract him. Neither through Gentile law or halacha, mutar litol es damav. You could accept money, the kosev umalav barkoshel oved kohavim, and draft the document in Gentile court, mipneshu kimatzel miyadam, because it's as if you're saving the money from the Gentiles' hands, i.e., you don't have to suffer an entire loss. So I will say, a very interesting case here. So it sounds like, so just two examples of this, where you have illegal transactions. I will say, I want to point out, the prohibition to sell a home in Eretz Yisrael to a non-Jew, according to Rashi's interpretation, is a biblical prohibition. So even though, again, that's a biblical prohibition versus selling your Eved, which is a rabbinic prohibition, but we're lumping them together because what we're seeing over here is that when a transaction is, an illegal transaction is visited upon you, it would appear that halacha lemaisa, because you did not orchestrate it, you are permitted to go ahead and accept payment for it. So if the Akum seizes my home, I could accept payment for the home. The Akum seizes my Eved, and I will say the interesting part over here also is, remember, this is the Eved allowing himself to be captured. The point over here is, I had no hand in this transaction. This was foisted upon me. In that kind of scenario, halacha lemaisa, one would be permitted to go ahead and accept money for the transaction. Incredible. Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Hamocher Avdol Oved Kochavim, if one sells his Eved to an Oved Kochavim, Konsin also, Admeh Bedamav. So I'll say, listen to this. So I'll say, so now, remember, let's take a step back. So what did the Mishnah teach me? The Mishnah taught me that if I proactively sell my Eved, Eved Kenani, to a Gentile master at the Chutz Laretz, what am I obligated to do? I am obligated to go ahead and redeem him. See, I'll say, the Lashon of the Mishnah is, he goes free, right? Yatza ben Chorin. Rashi feels, what does it mean he goes free? What it means is, I am obligated to redeem him. And then after I obligate to redeem him, what do I have to do? What do I have to do? Shtar shikr, and I'm obligated to free him. Suppose I say, obviously, in order to redeem him, what do I have to do? I have to buy him back. So now I'll say, watch this. Now Rabbi Shimon Levi says, by the way, you are obligated to buy him back for up to 100 times his value. So Rabbi says, so now this is incredible. Not only am I obligated to buy him back, not only am I obligated to free him upon repurchasing him, but I'm even obligated to buy him back, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, up to 100 times his value. To which the Gemara says, whoa, dafka olav. Now, what was that? Is that maybe like a bit hyperbolic? Just saying I have to buy him back, and even if I have to buy him back at a loss, in other words, that I have to buy him back for more money than I originally sold him for, I'm obligated, or does 100 literally mean 100 times his value? So Tashma Damresh Lakish, Hamocher Behem Agasli Ove Gochavim. If a person goes ahead and sells a behemagasa, a large animal, ultimately again to an Oved Kochavim, right? To, and I will say now, right, let's discuss this. Person sells a large animal to an Oved Kochavim, Konsin Osad Sarah Bedamel. You penalize him that you have to buy back the animal app up to 10 times its value. Now I will say, what's going on over here with behemagasa? So remember again, there is a rabbinic prohibition to sell large beasts of burden, behemagasa, to an akum. What are we concerned about? We're concerned that if you get used to selling large animals to Gentiles, you may come to what? Rent them to Gentiles as well. The concern over there is that the Gentile may then use the rented animal for work on Shabbos. And I will say, I have an obligation to ensure that not only do I not work on Shabbos, my animals are not permitted to work on Shabbos. If technically speaking, I have an animal rented out to the non-Jew, that is still my animal. If he works it on Shabbos, that is my problem. That's why you're not allowed to sell a behemagas, a large animal, to a non-Jew. What happens if he did? So konsin also adasar bedamav. You have to buy back the animal for up to 10 times its value. To which again the Gemara says, dafka or lav dafka? Literally 10 times or figuratively 10 times? So tasha the reish lagish, hamochar behemagas leve kochavim. If a person sells large animal to a kochavim, konsin also ad mea bedameho. Whoa. So behemagasa, you have to buy it back for up to 100 times its value. To which the Gemara says, shiny eved delo hadrele. So I will say, so it could very well be that halacha lemaisa, that it could very well be that by eved it's different. So by behemagasa, I have to buy him back for up to 10 times its value, right? So the Gemara says, "Vidilma shiny eved." So here's what's interesting. So by an eved, I have to buy him back for 100 times his value, up to 100 times his value. For a behemagasa, up to 10 times his value. Why the disparity? To which the Gemara says, "Vidilma shiny eved." D'chol yoma v'yoma mafkele b'minsus. We'll say maybe an eved is different. Why? Because an eved, every single day that either he is owned by a non-Jew or every single day that he is outside of Eretz Yisrael, he is removed from the performance of mitzvos. Maybe because of that spiritual urgency, you have to buy him back no matter what, even up to 100 times his value. Vigidami, others explain, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Hamocher Avdol Ove Kochavim, Konsin Osu Adasara Bidamav. Oh, okay, this is a little bit more digestible over here. Well, see, an alternate version, Rabbi Shimon Levi says, if you sold your Eved, you have an obligation to buy him back, and you have to buy him back for up to 10 times his value. Dafka or Lav Dafka? We'll say literally 10 times or figuratively 10 times. So Tasha Dharma Shlakish, Hamochar Behemagasa, the Ove Kochavim, Konsin also Ad Meya Bidameha. Wow, but this is just the reverse, right? So Rabbi Shimon Levi says, if you sell a Behemagasa, you have to buy back the Behemagasa for up to 100 times its value. To which the Gemara says, wow, what's the difference? Shiny Eved Delo Hadule. Maybe I will say an Eved is different because remember, when you buy back your Behemagasa, at least what? You get to keep it. It's yours. Eved, when you buy back your Eved, I'm going to say, what happens when you buy back your Eved? He's automatically emancipated. Maybe that's why you only have to buy him back up to 10 times his value. Ella, behema time of mine, mishum dehadrele. Liknisei tfeichad. So I'll say, if that's the case, so I don't understand. If halacha lemaisa, the behema comes back, so I'll say, so fine. So if you have to buy back the Eved for up to 10 times his value, buy back the behemoth for up to 11 times his value. Well, say, how do you go from 10 to 100? from 10 to 100. Ella, Eved Milsa de Loshicha, or Milsa Loshicha lo Gazi Birabanan. Shabbos says, that's very interesting. The Gemara says, that people selling Avadim to an Akum, that is an uncommon occurrence. That's an uncommon occurrence. I would say, so because it's an uncommon occurrence, Chazal weren't really gozer. Because they weren't really gozer, therefore, again, if you do it, you only have to buy him back up to 10 times his value. The selling of a behemah gasra, I'll say, on the other hand, could be a very common occurrence. How do Chazal ensure that you don't do it? By penalizing you what? Up to 100 times its value. So I will say, it appears from the conclusion of this Gemara, again, if we have just going to see in the Rambam, that Aloha my Samosa. So now what I know is, not only do I have an obligation to buy back the Eved if I sell them to a Gentile master, but what? I even have to buy him back up to 10 times his value. So also you see that clearly Chazal trying to disincentivize someone selling their Eved to an Akum or outside of Chuzaz, because we'll say, number one, you have to buy him back. Number two, you have to buy him back up to 10 times his value. Number three, when you buy him back, what do you have to do? You have to free him. You have to emancipate him. So this is a huge potential loss. Macher avda umes. What's an interesting case? What happens if Reuven went ahead and sold his Eved and now he died? So I'll say, so Reuven, right? Reuven did something illegal. Reuven sold his Eved Kanani to a non-Jewish master, and now Reuven died. Maushik nu says beno acharav. So I'll say, now Reuven leaves behind the son. Does the son have an obligation to redeem the slave or not? And I will say, especially if we go with the idea that you have to redeem the slave up to 10 times its value, does the son have the obligation to do this or not? So let's listen to this. There's a concept called Bechar Behema. So we'll say, what's Talocha? So you have to give your firstborn animal to the Kohen. What does the Kohen do with the animal? Halacha l'maisa, if he goes ahead, if the animal is unblemished, it gets offered up as a carbon, and the Kohen gets to eat the meat. If the animal is blemished, then the Kohen gets to keep it himself. So I will say, see, here's an interesting case. The halacha is, what happens if the Kohen purposely blemishes the animal himself? Kohen is a smart guy. He says, you know what? I don't want to give it as a carbon. I want to keep it. See, purposely, he cuts the ear. He purposely blemishes the animal. That's what it's called. So the Gemara says, there's a knas, there's a penalty there. So I will say, so what happens if the Kohen blemished the Bechar and then the Kohen died? So I will say, so halacha l'maisa, the son is penalized, right? The son has to carry out the penalty of the father. Maybe it's different in that case over there. Why? Mishum di isura d'araisu. Because we'll say the father violated isura d'araisa. Avahach isura d'rabanon. But here, the prohibition to sell an eved is an isura d'rabanon. Amud beis. Vimtim salomar kivin malach. So we'll say, here the shayla over here is Reuven, the father, illegally sold his eved kanani to a Gentile master. Now Reuven died. Reuven has a son. So now, does the son have an obligation to go ahead and redeem the Eved Kanani, even for, let's say, 10 times its value, or not? So I'll say, so now we're trying to figure this out. Imtim Salomar, Kiveh Malach Devamoy, Umeis. So it's another very interesting case. But I'll say, the halach is as follows. On Cholamayit, you're not allowed to do malacha. Can't do work. The only type of work that you're allowed to do for our purposes, the type of work you're allowed to do is what we call davar avad, bless you. Something is going to be lost, right? If, in other words, if you don't do something, you're going to suffer a loss, you could do that on Chalamayit. So I'll say, the one thing you can't do is, what happens if somebody purposely timed their work so that it will become a davar ha'avad, something that is lost on Chalamayit? I'll say, give me a good example of this. The classic example of this is flax. Right? The halacha is you have to soak flax for a certain amount of time. Right? If you allow it to soak for too long, so what happens? It's lost. It's lost. So let's imagine the following situation. Let's say the flax has to soak for a day or 2 days. Someone purposely put in their flax on Erev Yontif. Right? So that was going to soak for Erev Yontif. It's going to soak for the first day Yontif. And then the first day Chalamayit, you're going to remove your flax. So now what have you done? You've purposely created a davar ha'avad scenario, right? You've purposely created it. So I will say, that's called kivin malach davamoid umeis. And I will say, now what happens? So let's say, imagine Reuven purposely put his flax in the water on Erev Yontif, and now he died. Lo kansu bino acharav. So ultimately, we'll say we don't penalize the son. We allow the son to remove the flax. Why? Mishum lo avadi sura. Because again, the son didn't do anything. Right? The son wasn't involved. Hacha mai. So we'll say in the case where Reuven sold the Eved and then died. So do we say the knas is on Reuven, but Reuven's dead? Ol Dilma lemamoni kansu rabbanu v'ha isay. We'll say here this fascinating shayla. We'll say here's what we know. Right? What does the Mishnah teach us? If a person sells his Eved to a Gentile master or to Chutz Laaretz, what's the halacha? There's a knas. There's a penalty on the man. Right? There's a penalty. What's the penalty? What's the penalty? You have to buy back the Eved for up to 10 times his value and then emancipate him. So here's the Gemara Shaila. Is the knas on the Gavra, on the owner, on Reuven, or is it on the Chefza? Is it on the object? So I will say, what's the most practical difference? Our case. Reuven died. So if you say that the knas is on the Gavra, on Reuven, on the person, Reuven's dead. And therefore, again, his son will have no obligation to go ahead and redeem this Eved. Or is the knas on the property? Is the knas on the chefts, on the object? In this case, the Eved Kanani. In which case, again, the object is still very much in existence. And maybe Reuven, the son, will have an obligation to go ahead and redeem the Eved. So I'm going to so we learn this. What is in this case? Sada shnes kavtza b'shvias. Tez the matzichas. So we'll say, if you have a field, this is Shemitah. So we'll say, in this case over here, you have a field. You cleared the field of thorns during the Shemitah year. So we'll say, so ideally this is not good. But mid-da'oraisa, this is not called work in the field. Right? Clearing from thorns is not called work in the field. Therefore, tizra l'matzeh shviyas. You're allowed to go ahead and work the field on matzeh shviyas right after the Shemitah year. Netaiva, O Nidaira, Lotis Mosishes. And here's an interesting case. What if you fertilize the field? So apparently, there are two different ways that you could fertilize the fields. Netaiva Rabosei means that literally, I brought fertilizer to the field and I spread fertilizer out on the field. The other mechanism for fertilizing, Rabosei, is called penning, right? What does that mean? I take animals and I pen them on different parts of the field. So as I will say, the field becomes naturally fertilized through the waste of the animals. Either way, if I fertilize the field during Shemitah, lo tizun matzishvias. I will say there is a penalty upon me, and I cannot plant that field after Shemitah. Naktinon hetiva umes. So it's about the following scenario. What happens if halacha lemaisa, Reuven fertilized the field, right? Fertilized the field during Shemitah, illegal. And then he died. So what's the halacha? Bino Zora. His son has the ability to plant that field after Shemitah. What do you see from here? Amo l'didei kans rabbanan l'brei lo kans rabbanan. I'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, the knas is on the individual and not on the chafetz. It's on the gavra, not the chafetz. On the individual, not on the object. So once Reuven dies, halacha l'maisa, the knas dies along with him. Incredible. So therefore, again, what that seems to mean for us is that if Reuven illegally sold his Eved Kanani, and then what? And then Reuven died, Reuven's son does not have an obligation to go ahead and redeem the Eved. So this is an interesting case. Let's say Reuven went ahead and was metame the taros of his friend. So I'll give you the following scenario. Imagine Reuven has a falling out with Aaron. Right? Aaron's a Kohen. So what does Reuven do? He says, I'm going to get this guy. He throws a sheretz into Reuven's truma. Takes a dead mouse, throws it into Reuven's truma. So Rabbi says, what's the halacha? Now Reuven dies, umes, lo kansu rabbanu b'no acharav. Old Rabbi says, now obviously by doing that, what did Reuven do? Reuven caused Aaron a loss. Now all the truma is no good. I will say, now interestingly enough, what's unique about this case, I will say, is this is called in halacha, hezek she'eno nikar, unrecognizable damage. I will say, if you were to look at that truma after the sheretz is thrown into it, assuming the sheretz was removed, right, is there any recognizable damage to the truma? No. This is called unrecognizable damage. So I will say, now listen to this. So, meis, lo kans rabbanan bino acharav. Now Reuven dies. Reuven's son bears no culpability for the damage caused by his father. Says in my time, what's the reason for this? Hezek sheino nikra lo shmei hezek. Ultimately, again, unrecognizable damage is not called damage. It's not called damage. To which the Gemara says, so k'nasad rabbanon hu b'didei. Sorry, k'nasad rabbanon hu. So I'll say, so now remember, so if hezek sheino nikra is not called hezek, right, if unrecognizable damage is not called damage, then halacha l'maisa, why does Reuven himself have to pay? To which the Gemara says, k'nasad rabbanon hi. L'didei k'nasad rabbanon, l'brei lo k'nasad rabbanon. Chazal only visited a k'nas. So I'll say, so what you begin to see over here is something very interesting. That whenever there is a rabbinic k'nas, rabbinic penalty, the rabbinic penalty only is vested or only is visited upon the perpetrator himself. But ultimately, again, the rabbinic penalty is not passed down generationally. So therefore, Rabbosai, same way by Truma, and it would appear, therefore, the Gemara's conclusion by the Eved case is, if Reuven illegally sold his Eved to a Gentile master, to Chutz La'aretz, and then Reuven died, that knas, the rabbinic penalty, is not passed down to the son. So rabbinic penalties go on the individual, not on the object. Therefore, once the perpetrator dies, no one else has liability for that rabbinic penalty, for that knas. Incredible. Olu chutz laretz. So what happens tonight? We're speaking about selling the eved to a Gentile master. What happens if you sold the eved to chutz laretz? So also there's a knas. You have to redeem the eved and then emancipate him. Say the Torah, Hamocher avdol chutz laretz, that's al chayrus. Interesting, I will say. If you went ahead and you sold your Eved to Chutz La'aretz, and I was in a patch, the time of here is the following case. Reuven lives in Eretz Yisrael, he sold his Eved to Shimon, who lives in Chutz La'aretz. Right? So now I will say, what happens? So ultimately, again, now the Eved goes free, and he needs to get Shichra, a document of emancipation. Who does he need to get Shichra from? Now the Gemara says, from the second master, from Shimon, Shimon Omer, Pamim Yatza, Pamim Lo Yatza. Sometimes the Eved goes free, sometimes it doesn't go free. Ketzad, Omer Ploni Avdi Mechartiu Le Ploni Antuchi Lo Yatza. So let's listen to this. If Reuven says, Ploni my Eved, I sold him to so-and-so Antuchi, who is from Antuchia, right, which is a place outside of Eretz Yisrael. Shabbat says, so ultimately, again, so Lemaisa, what the Gemara is saying is like this, is if Reuven sells his Eved, he knows that the buyer is from Chutz La'aretz, but he assumes that the buyer lives in Eretz Yisrael, right? Then ultimately, again, there is no penalty in that case. Lo Yatza. L'antuchi sheba Antuchia Yatza. But if Reuven sells his Eved to Shimon, who is from Antuchi and lives in Antuchia, i.e. he knows full well that Shimon lives in Chutz La'aretz, then what? Then ultimately, again, halach l'maisa, the Eved goes free. Aye, but our time that we learned, l'antuchi yatza, so but we learned that if Reuven sold to Shimon, who the antuchi, he is yotza l'cherus, l'antuchi hashari b'lod lo yatza, but if he sells it to Rushimin, who is from Antuchia but lives in Lod, the Eved doesn't go free. Lokashia had isle besa be'eret be'eret Yisrael had isle ushbiza be'eret Yisrael. So Rabbi said, this is fascinating. Gemara wants to make the following suggestion or the following distinction. If halacha lemaisa, Reuven sells to Shimon, right? He knows that Shimon is from Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi said, but watch this. But Shimon has a home in Eretz Yisrael. Then Rabbi said, Reuven has every right to assume that Shimon is going to be remaining with his newly purchased Eved Kenani in Eretz Yisrael. If, however, Shimon doesn't have a home, what does Shimon do? What does Shimon do? He has a lot. He has a timeshare. So I'll say, right, a fixed Airbnb, right? He has a timeshare. So I will say, if he has a timeshare, then he cannot rely on the fact that he's going to live in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore the assumption is he has sold that Eved to live in Chutz La'aretz, and therefore the penalty will kick in. So I will say, bye, Rabbi. I'm supposed to, you know, we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up a minute with this last case. But I will say, so bottom line, I just want to point out what we emerge with. Number one is the knas, right? Knas of selling the Eved to Chutz La'aretz, or ultimately again to an akum. Obligation to redeem seems to be even up to 10 times the value. Upon redemption, get shichrur, and Eved goes free. The knas does not pass down. So if the perpetrator dies, the knas dies along with him, and his son has no further obligation. Now we transition Rabbosai to selling an Eved to Chutz La'aretz. Once again, the Eved goes free. who has the obligation to go ahead and give the get shechrer, that Emir Tzeshem to be determined. What's that? Shkoyach.